This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hour two of Prime Time with Lynch and Suk today. Spent the whole first hour mostly talking about Niners and Packers. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com and on radio.com app as well. We'll get into Chiefs Titans in hour number three, and that's the 5 o'clock hour. But I wanted to take a quick refresher here, a little palate cleanser from some football.
A sorbet, if you will.
Or like a sherbet.
Delicious. Oh, there you go. I do like a good orange sherbet.
Yeah, and it does clean that palate up nice and right.
Now I want a dreamsicle, damn it.
I've never been a big Dreamsicle fan.
You go straight to hell.
One of my least favorite flavors of sweet.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
You don't like the orange whip?
I do not.
Oh, there's something. Like, you give me anything that has like an orange cream soda, the Dreamsicle, any of the...
See,
That's perfect.
I love orange as a flavor. I love orange juice. It's one of my favorite drinks to exist. I just don't like the Creamsicle flavor. I don't know why.
Wow.
I never have. I try it every couple of years. Like, oh, maybe this year's the year. No.
You've disappointed me in so many ways
over
the years.
It's the same thing with like olives. I hate olives.
You have with the weird shark sex thing and then the bathrobe and your private school. There's just so many things about you that I find disappointing. This may be number one, that you somehow are poo-pooing the Dreamsicle.
I'm not poo-pooing it. I understand that you guys all
you're
like
poo-pooing.
It. I just don't.
You're poo-poo.
I'm sorry.
That's what you're doing.
I'm
right
poo-poo.
Now. You are. You're poo-poo. That's what it is. That hot take right there is poo-poo.
Well, it's not a hot take. It's just an opinion.
Yeah, it's a hot take is what it is, and it's ridiculous.
It's just like my opinion, man.
The greatest comeback of all time.
So the Blazers made a trade. Hey!
Yay!
They did it. They did something.
Oh, whatever.
Did they, though?
Well, they did. Something indeed happened.
So they traded Kent Bazemore.
Well, we knew like Bazemore and Whiteside, and probably not Whiteside anymore, but we figured one of those, if not both, were going to be dealt at some point this year.
Hey, they still might trade Whiteside. You don't know.
It's possible.
You don't know, although everyone here thinks he's amazing.
I know.
They sent...
The numbers are good.
Yep. So is that winning?
Well, that's not his fault.
Okay, sure. Kent Bazemore, Anthony Tolliver, who of course gets traded after finally having two games where he was worth a damn. And two second-round draft picks, future second-round picks, to the Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
And you say, oh, who did the Blazers get?
Well, who'd they get? They got
Buddy Hield?
They got rid of $12.5 million. That's what they got.
De'Aaron Fox? Someone good? No. The Blazers get Trevor Ariza, who I forgot was in the league.
How old is Trevor Ariza?
93.
I feel like he's been around since like 2000. I feel like he's been in the league for 18 years.
Some guy named Wenyen Gabriel and...
Wait for it. This is the big one.
And...
Yeah. Caleb Swanigan. Yes!
Well, I was waiting for the roll to finish, but Caleb Swanigan.
The final piece back
you
in place.
You traded him to the Kings for Scott Laviciere, and now you got him back because... The Kings didn't want him anymore.
Hey, remember for one magical summer league when Swanigan was going to be the steal of the draft?
Well, of course. There's always one Blazer who's the steal of the draft.
Like, Zach Collins sucked, and Swanigan was I was going to say something there. He was great. He was absolutely fantastic. And then, we never heard of him again. And go away.
Yeah, so I'm assuming he was just more of a throw-in, or I don't know, maybe Neil O'Shea was like, hey, we'll get another crack because we need guys in the front court really, really badly. So, Swanigan, you still like us, right? You're not mad that we traded you? Okay.
By the way, Ariza came into the league in 2004.
All right, so you're close.
Yeah, he'd been around a long, long time.
So the thing with this trade, so obviously it is saving money, right?
$12.5 million that they shave off. And remember, this is... I think now it's probably the second most expensive roster, but it's either the first or the second most expensive roster in the NBA. And if you haven't seen the results, you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck.
No, the team is bad.
Yeah.
The team is not good. So that's obviously...
No, it didn't get any better.
Important part number one.
Ariza's 6 points isn't anything over the top.
Hold on 1 second there, mister. Obviously, reason number one for the trade was shaving off that money off the luxury tax, which, by the way, they're still in the luxury tax.
Yeah.
But it saves them money, and Trevor Ariza only has $1 million guaranteed next year, despite being owed, I believe, $12 or $13 million on his contract.
Yeah, they got until June 30th, and so
they're going to cut him.
They're going to cut him. They won't pick this up.
But here's the thing, and this is probably coming in some part from the Blazers, but also part of the Blazer propaganda machine, is that I think some people also are looking at this as not only a way to shave money, but also it fits a need that's going to help the Blazers make the playoffs. Mm. I've heard that as a conversation.
Really?
Well,
who fits the need?
Well, Ariza would. Theoretically, he's a 3-and-D, right? You need another guy to play defense. You need another guy to hit some shots. You play him at the three. So
how is that any different than Bazemore?
Well, because Bazemore sucked.
Trevor Ariza is 1,000 years old.
All Trevor Ariza needs is a new home. That's it.
What? When's the? I'm looking up at how old Trevor Ariza is. You just got older. That's all you did.
Yeah.
You saved some money and then you got an older, more beat up version of Kent Bazemore.
But I did see a little bit of like, well, this is a move that could help them, you know, if they want to get the eighth seed. And it's like, stop, Blazers, stop doing this.
I guess he's only 35. I thought he was older than that.
No, only 35. That's in basketball years. That's still pretty old.
Yeah, he's old. Still.
Just stop trying to win.
I guarantee.
Stop bringing in guys who are going to help fill holes.
This isn't about winning. I can assure you of that. And you know what? At some point, because did you see what else is involved in this trade besides shedding the $12.5 million?
What?
Because I promise you.
The two future seconds?
No, no, no. The seconds, whatever. Although that will be brought up at some point.
Anthony Tolliver?
No, no, no. Trade exceptions.
Oh, we got more?
This creates a 7.2 and a $1.7 million trade exception. And I guarantee... At some point that Neil O'Shea rolls that out there for flexibility. Not only do you have 2 second round picks, which you can package to do some stuff with, and then he'll praise Jody Allen for always, being in the mix.
Yep.
He'll be like, with the Allens behind us, we're always able to wheel and deal.
We went to her and she cleared it with flying colors. Make the trade, Neil.
He will bring up those two trade exemptions. He will talk about how those are in the hip pocket and he'll use the word flexibility and assets. I guarantee it. Assets. And then he'll talk about Swanigan is a guy that they liked back in the day, and they like him now still.
And Trevor Ariza, in a vacuum.
Veteran.
Is a good player, veteran, who's going to give them some good defense and maybe hit some threes for them as well.
Yeah.
And if I knew anything about Wenyen Gabriel, I would also make something up about him. But I've never heard of him before,
no,
so I'm not going to try.
Someone said the GM bro is just developing the Swanigan model. Just you wait. That's right.
It's no longer the Mason
Plumlee
model.
It's no longer the Plumlee model.
It's the Caleb Swanigan
this
model.
This is the Caleb Swanigan. And watch, I bet Swanigan will come in and have like a game where he has like 18-5 and be like, oh my God, Caleb Swanigan.
Well,
who
it's
needs
gonna be
Zach
like
Collins?
The Gary Trent game from on Saturday, right? The Blazers were playing with 8 players.
Yeah.
And Gary Trent played well. Yeah. Oh, Gary Trent game. It's his flu game. Let's go, Gary Trent. I mean, it's just like.
Someone said it best on the text line. Tank, 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 tank. Exactly.
Yes.
Take it in. We've got CJ with an ankle injury. Now I've been waiting for it all year. Dame, let's have a good nondescript lower back problem. Back spasms. I'm just going to bring a sign to the next Blazer home game that just says back spasms. Come on. We can do it. It's all you need. Sit out for a month. Now you got a tight lower back. You need, and all you have to say is that you're going to get reevaluated in 4 weeks. That's every, you know what? We're going to get you, you know what, Scott? We'll reevaluate in 4 weeks. And then after that, you know what? Let's reevaluate again. Let's just keep reevaluating.
I like this text that came in from, oh God, it just disappeared. From P1 Wade. Woj has it as part of his as part of his article that this is going to be part of a strategy to get Joel Prisbilla back to the Blazers.
What Prisbilla's up to?
Oh, I don't know.
I like the vanilla gorilla.
Probably being glorious like always.
Probably.
So I did see a
little bit. I bet you he's living a great life.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like
he
saved a bunch of money. And he's wearing a flannel somewhere and is like living in the woods, like training with like Myers Leonard, like cutting down trees or something. In fact, that would have been great if you had Prisbilla and Myers Leonard together.
Now, I did see a little bit of, well, maybe that's just part of another bigger trade coming using Whiteside's contract. And maybe Ariza is a trade chip. He's an asset that other teams want. I don't know why. Maybe they make another trade. Who knows? I'm sure they're going to try to trade Whiteside.
I'm sure.
It's a good contract to get rid of.
In all honesty, like we can sit here and poke fun at it, but it makes sense, right? Like Bazemore isn't going to be here long term.
He was never going to.
He's never going to be. You're paying an S ton in luxury tax. Like I said, it's either the first or second. I forget which one. Most expensive roster. It's going nowhere. So why? Well, it's shaving money at this point, right? It's a plane that's crashing. Might as well dump some fuel. I don't have a problem with this. And it's not like ideally you kind of wish that you could have brought someone in, you know, for Bazemore that fit long term. But if those deals aren't out there to be had, then fine. There's zero issue with this whatsoever. Ariza will be gone. They won't guarantee his contract. You got a guy I've never heard of in Swanigan, whatever. You save a couple ducats here and there. And you know, maybe the Whiteside deal is the one that brings in a player that fits more long-term into your future.
No, so, Trevor Ariza is the future.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza in 34, 35, however the whole old he is.
Well, Shea always likes to talk about the 3-and-D guys. There you go. Prototypical 3-and-D. So, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, this is...
When he comes to Portland, he's going to be reinvigorated for his career like everybody else. He's going to start shooting better. Going to play better defense. Trust us.
You know. So at this point, like I said, just lose as many games as possible. Try to get yourself a high pick. But at the same time, the one thing you can say is that next year is going to be a reset. This team won't be this bad, right? You'll turn Whiteside. Well, we were hoping Whiteside and Bazemore, but you'll turn Whiteside hopefully into a piece that fits a little bit better. You save some money with this. Nurk comes back next year. Well, he probably comes back this year, but you know what I mean. In a meaningful way, Nurk comes back next year. Collins comes back. Lillard, CJ, and then, you know, maybe you can go out and you can make a roster move or two in the offseason that brings in some quality bench guys or another starter. My guess is Carmelo probably doesn't re-sign here. You know, maybe he does and fits a smaller role for you. And next year you kind of hit the reset button. It's been a lost year, but it also doesn't mean that all the momentum you've been building up over the last couple of years, they don't go away with this. It's a bump in the road.
One text to wrap this up. Yay, another trade exception they'll never use. Yeah, that's
But you wait and see. I promise you.
That's the Blazers for you.
I promise you that the next time that the GM speaks, the next time Olshay speaks, that we hear about Ariza being a veteran leadership sort of guy and that fits the culture, and we talk about the flexibility and the trade exemptions, guaranteed. The 2 second-round picks and the trade exemptions will be bottled up together as acquiring assets, and then Jody Allen will be praised as someone that that always allows them to be in the conversation to make an aggressive.
And he'll talk about the season or a player in a vacuum. Yes. He always likes to do that as well.
Got talking about.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up next, it is time for Stock Watch here on Primetime with Lynch and Suk today on 1080 The Fan.
He has a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
It is time for Stock Watch here on Primetime with Lynch and Suk today. We did this, was it just last Monday? Or 2 Mondays ago, it was just me and you.
Something like that.
And
I don't remember where Rob was at.
I just asked you the Stock Watch question. So we'll do that again.
Let's. It's a one-man stock watch.
Yes.
And who needs anything else?
We begin here.
I'll go solo.
The storyline is going to be about football. It's going to be about this legendary defense with an opportunity to play against a legendary player in Patrick Mahomes and who comes out on top in that. I don't know that if you were writing a book and this was the last chapter, if you can have a better opportunity for this thing to finish off than what these two teams will bring to the Super Bowl in Miami. And I'm so excited to see which one of those sides of the ball, whether it's Kansas City in that offense or San Francisco in that defense, comes out on top and plays the game and walks off the field not only triumphant and victorious, but also as true legends of the 2019-20 season.
So we have something very similar that we had in the college championship game. Great defense, great offense in the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks between the Chiefs and the Niners. I know we're going to have 2 weeks to talk about this, but just as a quick little early preview, buy or sell, we will see a similar outcome to the college football championship where the offensive team will be superior to the defensive team.
I think that's selling. And here's my, I'll admit, I sold LSU's defense short. And I won't do that with Kansas City. Kansas City's defense over the last, if you want to throw the playoffs in the last 8 weeks, has actually been really good. Tennessee scored their first three possessions, and then Kansas City really bowed their back well and kept Derrick Henry in check. So I think this is going to be one of those where I don't think San Francisco's offense is going to get enough credit. I don't think Kansas City's defense is going to get enough credit. So I don't view this quite the same way, in that this is going to be billed as Niners defense, Kansas City's offense. But I think these are two really complete teams. I'm going to take San Francisco because I think San Francisco is the more balanced team in this one. But remember, I'm the jackass that thought that Clemson was the more balanced team. But, you know, Clemson, I think, ended up, you know, the people were right. And there were people that tried to call me out, and I didn't want to listen to it. But they were right in that I think Clemson was buoyed by the fact they didn't play anybody. You don't hide in the NFL. San Francisco and Kansas City have both been through the waters. And you're not hiding from anyone. At this point, they're the two best teams. It's such a good matchup. It's going to be a close game. But I do think that San Francisco's defense and their offensive combination, to me, that is still the best team. But if Kansas City's defense can play the way they have the last couple of weeks, and Pat Mahomes is ridiculous. Like what he's doing in that offense and the weapons that are around there, I don't know how you fully stop that. And I don't think the Niners will. I think that both teams are going to score. But again, I'll sell basically what you're selling, and I'm going to take what I think is the more complete team. San Francisco, for the first 8 to 10 weeks of the season when they were healthy, was the best team in football. They're healthy now. I think they've been the best team in football for the last handful of weeks. Give me the Niners.
The Titans have been one of the worst red zone defenses in football during the regular season. But over the first two playoff games, they were fantastic. They were the best red zone defense in the postseason. On Sunday, though, the Chiefs were 2 for 3 in the red zone. You need to be perfect with that sort of formula that Tennessee ran to win in the playoffs. You need to dominate both red zones. You need to shut the other team down on third and short and fourth and short. You need to force takeaways. The Titans weren't able to do much of that at all on Sunday. And for all the talk about their offensive brilliance, they weren't able to do the other things they had done to win earlier in the playoffs.
First of all, let's point out that Bill Barnwell says Titans weird.
Titan.
I don't even know how to say it the way he says it, but it sounds weird. Buy or sell Titans 1 year wonder, and I want to get to this in the 5 o'clock hour as well.
No, I don't think they're a 1 year wonder. I don't buy that. I don't think that they're dominant or they're a, you know, necessarily a complete team, but you look and some of their weapons on the opposite side of the ball, their best receiver is really young. Derrick Henry, I think, is only, 5 years in the league. Defense is good, solid, and it's not like it's an aging defense or anything. The question about Tennessee is Tannehill, is Tannehill this good? Or did we just get a brief glimpse of a guy that played real well and now it fades a little bit? That, to me, is the ultimate one, is do you have a, because he's not elite, but do you have a solid, let's say, top 12, top 13 quarterback in the league? And then you build pieces around him, and this roster continues to improve through the draft and free agency.
You've got a really good wide receiver in A.J. Brown.
That's what I'm saying, and he's young.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're a young team. You've got your two tackles that are inked for a long time and two elite tackles at that. So no, I don't think a 1 year wonder. I don't think that they are, obviously, I don't think they're Kansas City. I don't think they're San Francisco. I don't think they're necessarily like in this great Super Bowl window, But no, I don't think the Tennessee necessarily falls off the page. I don't buy that.
The window is not about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is good enough. I think we all agree. We watch football. We understand. The window is about everybody else. Everybody else is coming of age now. It's just like the conversation I told you about with Phillip Rivers, G. Phillip Rivers had good enough teams. He was a good enough quarterback to make it to Super Bowls. Phillip Rivers' only damn problem was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady was right. Who he had to beat to get to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's what's happening to Aaron Rodgers now. It's not that he can't do it. He's about to start having two or three teams every year that he's going to have to go through this gauntlet to try to get there, and possibly not, because the team is a better team than the team that he had.
I'm going
to
change this up from a buy-sell question and just ask a specific question to you on this.
Okay.
I think that's a really interesting comment from Marcus Spears there at ESPN, talking about the kind of the new age of quarterbacks is here, right? The era has become. We have a new group of quarterbacks who we consider the best in the NFL, no longer the old group, including Brady and Breeze, etc.
Yeah.
So in the NFC, with the AFC, we know Mahomes, Lamar Jackson seem to be the two at the top there. But in the NFC, who do you foresee being the most frequent visitor to the NFC title game at the quarterback position?
Of
the younger guys.
Of the younger guys.
So that could be Prescott, Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo. I maybe put Russell Wilson in that, but it feels like he's slightly above that class. Yeah.
See, to me, this again just is going to come down. I don't think he's the best. I just think he's on the best team. I'll take Garoppolo. One, I think Garoppolo is better than anyone's giving him credit for. I think Garoppolo gets slighted, and obviously what happened in the title game isn't going to do
it's
anything.
It's tough to judge based on eight passes.
Yeah, but Garoppolo had a nice year. If you look at his season, just like I thought that we're kind of bizarre in the way that we crap on Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, had 4,000 yards and, 26 touchdowns and four picks, and yet somehow it was a terrible regular season. But Garoppolo actually probably had better numbers overall than Aaron Rodgers did. And I just look at the way that John Lynch and Shanahan, they've built this team. It's good, and it's not going anywhere, right? It's actually a fairly young team. I know Richard Sherman's a little bit older, but you look at Garoppolo, you look at, one of your two tackles. You look at your backs are all fairly young. Kittle's not an old guy. A lot of your receivers are young. Your defensive line is all on their first contracts. You know, even like Quan Alexander isn't like an over-the-hill sort of guy. This is a young football team, and so I don't think San Francisco is going anywhere, and I think defense and the way they run the ball, I think, is going to be sustainable. So just based on that, I don't think Garoppolo is the best of those young NFC quarterbacks, and I don't think he's Pat Mahomes. I don't think he's Deshaun Watson, anything like that. But you said who's going to beat him more Super Bowls in 5 years, I'm taking Garoppolo simply because of the system that he's got around him.
Let's look at some of the deals that have gotten done. You think about Todd Gurley. You look at Le'Veon Bell. These are some deals that I think teams aren't necessarily regretting, but they are seeing that you don't need to pay a running back this type of money. And now if you look at the open market, there won't be teams that necessarily want to run offense the way that the Tennessee Titans do, or have the offensive line playing with that type of cohesion. And so for me, I don't think he gets a deal more than Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think he becomes the highest paid player. Will he be able to garner some money, and will he get a good deal? I do, but I think the money is going to start being scaled back on running backs as you see some of these guys getting these deals and not necessarily working out for the team when it comes to wins.
Another one from Ryan Clark there, ESPN. Derrick Henry set to be a free agent this year. Appears to have played himself into a large contract this offseason, but the question is, buy or sell, the team that commits to Derrick Henry will wind up regretting it.
Oh, I don't know about that. The way he runs, the physical style, you know, you could say that maybe there's a lot of wear and tear and that, you know, physical guys don't last that long. But he's been in the league, 5 years, and he hasn't always been the bell cow. You know, and if you look, he's had steady production every year. It's just that as the workload has increased, he's gotten better and better. So, you know, if you signed him to like a 5-year deal and it was all guaranteed, I think you're going to be disappointed. But you know, he'll get a 4-year deal. Two of it will be a big hunk up front, and he'll be productive for two more years. No, I don't buy that he's going to be a disappointment. The only way he's a disappointment is if you sign him to, like, if someone signs him to a team where the role isn't going to be the same, or you give him too much guaranteed money. But Derrick Henry is an old school guy. You can run an offense through him, but yeah, you don't want him in an offense where he needs to be a third down back and he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. You want a team that's going to pound the rock and be physical that plays behind a good offensive line. And my guess is Tennessee ends up re-signing him. I don't think they let him walk. I think he stays in Tennessee on a good deal where he gets compensated, but I don't think it's going to be a back-breaking sort of deal, and it's not going to be something that tie the Titans to him for 4 or 5 years.
Stock Watch every Monday at 4:15, brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. AFC title game coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we have In the News on Primetime with Lynch and Suk. But first, a Sports Center update.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
If you're just joining us on this MLK Day edition of Primetime, Rop is air quotes sick today.
He's got the trots.
Well, so he says.
Well, look, if he's got the muds, what are you going to do?
Well,
you can't work like that.
What we're doing is what we're doing. I'm doing the producing hosting, and you're over there in the two chair, and we're all good.
It's just suspicious that he went to Vegas, and then he sent us a text at 4:30 from Vegas or Palm Springs.
So wherever he was.
Wherever he was, because I don't know if he went to Palm Springs first and then Vegas or vice versa.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
A 4:30 in the morning text saying that you've had the trots for a couple days and so you can't make it in.
So that you're going to fly home this morning and then rest it off?
Exactly. It's suspect. And you've had it
since... That sounds like too long of a night. Yeah. And then you want to actually just rest when you get home.
You've had it since Saturday and you haven't been able to stop that up, right? They didn't have an Imodium and some paper towels? It's all suspect.
Well, he's out, but I will do my best to be the fill-in newsman. And as it is January 20th, 2020, and this is In the News. Today is, of course, Martin Luther King Day, yes. Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
So now we all have to go on social media and post some random quote that we don't pay any attention to, but that you found on the internet today that someone else posted and now you repost it.
Sure. I have not done that. I just sit here on today and go, you know what? That MLK, he wasn't so bad.
No.
He wasn't so bad.
Had some pretty cool ideas.
Yeah, he was pretty rad. Today is also National Butter Crunch Day,
What is a butter crunch?
It's like those...
Should I know what a butter crunch is?
Yeah.
I know what a butt crunch is.
Whoa, what?
Some butt crunches.
Oh, like an exercise.
Like an exercise.
You scared me there. I was like, what is he talking about?
No.
No, it's like, you know, when you go to those candy places on the shore or the coast or wherever, and it's like covered in nuts and chocolate, and it's kind of like toffee crunch on the inside. That's a butter crunch.
Okay. So it's just like toffee.
Yeah, with like chocolate and almonds around it usually. I mean, there's different variations of it. I think butter crunch is delightful.
I don't know if I fully knew because I Google imaged butter crunch. I didn't know I don't think I was aware that that was called butter crunch.
Yeah.
I just always assumed that was some form of toffee.
No, that's butter crunch. And yeah. It's delightful.
Well, then in that case, yes. Well, it's basically just sugar and nuts and butter.
And chocolate.
All right.
It's everything you need.
Go butter crunch.
In a balanced diet.
All right.
It's also National Cheese Lovers Day.
Cheese.
Which is every human on earth, I hope.
Well, unless you're like, you know, you got issues with it. I'm lactose intolerant. I just push through it. I do.
Yeah, look, if I ever develop that, I will continue to push through it because I absolutely love cheese. Mac and cheese!
Yeah, look, if I eat a very dairy-rich thing, you've got anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes.
Until you run into the bathroom?
Yeah, yeah. But I push through it. Like, yeah. I don't understand the evils of it.
I'm assuming some other people have stronger reactions than just having to go pull a Rob.
I suppose. Like, I drink almond milk now as opposed to regular milk.
Because you're fancy?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I am more conscious of the dairy that I eat. But, you know, it's not that bad. Like, I get it if you're, like, breaking out in hives or whatever. But for the most part, people that are lactose and... I'm not, like, lactose, like averse. I'm lactose intolerant. My body's like, all right, we need to go take care of something. So, you know, handful of minutes, go take care of your business, and then I'm back in the game. Give me some ice cream.
Also, I don't know if this technically counts as us, but I'm going to go ahead and say that it's us. That's National Disc Jockey Day. It's DJ Day.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, technically, we're radio DJs, but not really, because we're talking about sports and not spinning the hits.
Yeah, whenever I find out, like, like if you like you're going on a date or something, people ask you what you do, and you tell them you're in radio, they always assume like, and then I have to explain. I'm like, no, it's like I'm not a DJ. Like we don't play any music. Like what do you do? I'm like, oh, we play fart sounders and talk to one another. Like, what are you talking about? Sports-ish, kind of.
Sports and things.
Yeah.
And stuff and sports.
Yeah, but everyone always assumes DJ, like we're Tim Taylor, like on the Wolf. Oh! And then they're always disappointed when they find out, like.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah.
You're not on a show called Weenie in the Butt.
No. No, Ira in the Douche. I am not Ira nor the Douche. I don't, you know. I don't got it.
So that is the what today is. The first story of In the News today is there are going to be new red light cameras in Tigard on 99W. They're installing three different red light cameras on 99.
Where I find red light cameras to be unconstitutional.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
If you can't catch me doing the illegal thing, you go to hell.
They're installing it at the corner of, I'll call it Pacific Highway for ease, Pacific Highway and Hall, Southwest Hall, Pacific Highway and 72nd, and Pacific Highway and Durham Road. They are installing red light cameras there. For the first month, you will just be mailed a warning letter if you get caught.
Oh, really?
And after that, $265 fine.
Good Lord.
So
$265? Is that like a normal? Now, I haven't had a ticket in a long time.
Like I've had a red light ticket in Beaverton, and it was not that expensive.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit more. A little bit more expensive there.
I would like to take this point in the show to once again point out that the cops at Ybor City, Tampa, Florida, you can go to hell. $300 jaywalking ticket. Kiss my ass. All right.
And again, I would like to point out that you talked yourself into that ticket, but, you know, it's neither here nor there.
It's ridiculous that I got pulled over in the first place for walking across the street.
Now, I, like you, happen to believe that red light cameras are unconstitutional.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
First of all, they're almost never run by the police. They're run by a random company that then sends the police the data and then they write you a ticket. B, they are so sensitive. Like, I got caught once making a right on red where I actually stopped, but I didn't stop for the full, like, 2 seconds.
Sure.
And it was like, they send you the picture and it's your face and it's like, well, it's clearly me. How much I can do about that? So you just sent, you know, you could go fight it, I suppose, but I just sent, I think it was like $180 in Beaverton.
Yeah.
I just sent it and I was like, okay, fine. I don't want to do this.
$180.
Yeah.
God, I get that all the time.
Now at that light, I stop for like 6 seconds. I'm the annoying guy because I'm like, I'm not getting this stupid camera to flash on me again.
Well, like every intersection now, no matter where you're at, it appears that there's some sort of camera up there. And it scares me to death.
Sometimes that's just the one that like tracks how many cars are waiting.
But I don't know. Or
for like the ambulances, they press the button and it goes.
It always terrifies me because like you see that yellow light and you're like, go. You're like, no. And you go through it. And I don't know, like, at what point if I'm in the intersection when it turns red, does that like, do you get me? I don't know. I hate it, though. It bothers me immensely.
Well, and it's also not always on, which is the annoying thing. At least the one that and the problem for me on this 99 one is that's how I get home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be dealing with this. I deal with it on the way in at the Shoals and Hall light, and then I'm going to deal with this on the way home. But there have been times at the Shoals and Hall intersection, the one in Beaverton, that any of you guys who live out there by the mall know this light because it's terrible and it has all the cameras on it. There will be many times I see a car go through it, and it's clearly red, and he's still going through the intersection. No flash. None.
Huh.
Well, then what's the point of having the cameras then? Was it just to trick us so that, false sense of security, we're going to get all these people who think they're off now? No. Stop that nonsense.
Worst thing that happened in traffic in the last 10 years, roundabouts and traffic cameras. Let me just say that I hate the fact that roundabouts, or roundabouts, as our non-Canadian brothers would say, I hate them. I hate that they're popping up everywhere. Screw you, Europe, for giving them
Why
to
do
us.
You hate them?
They bother me immensely. Just put a light, put a stop sign. They're always confusing. It's I don't like them.
Well, but
I don't. I hate them. They're all over like Camas and Washougal. They're popping up in certain parts of Vancouver
because they've been proven to be safer and faster.
I hate them. Let me just throw this out there as a thought.
You just take them and take your exit.
No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
You don't have to stop at a light. You don't have to do the BS like, oh no, you go. Oh no, you go. No,
like
you
it's
just.
Like, it's like the metric system. Take it, Europe.
You
Take
enter
it
the circle,
and, cram it.
And then you yield for cars, and then you get off at the exit that is your desired exit.
Don't like it.
Roundabouts are fine in my book. But red light cameras, nay. But if you live in Tigard or take 99W at all, they're going to be putting them in at the Hall intersection, the Durham Road intersection, and the 72nd Avenue intersection. So be careful. Don't run those yellows.
Careful out there. It's dangerous.
Don't run those yellows. All right. Coming up next, tons of snow in Newfoundland, Canada. Tons of snow. And
I bet it's causing havoc with the roundabouts.
A man was found hiding for weeks in a Washington grocery store. Yeah. That's right. Next here on In the News with Lynch and Zook today on 1080 The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Zook on 1080 The Fan.
4:51, we are smack dab in the middle of In the News for January 20th, 2020.
People asking, by the way, where my hatred of roundabouts come from.
It's strange.
When I was driving over in Europe, I lived over in Scotland, everything was stick, and I can drive a stick, but having it reversed the other way, it completely threw me off.
So you were on the right side of the car.
Yeah.
And then you had to take roundabouts the other way.
And I had to take the roundabouts, and it threw me off. Like, the first time, like, I drove over there, like, everything is roundabouts. And there were a couple times where I was like, wrong way. And it was a whole thing. So now we just kind of joke that.
I don't know, man. You sound pretty passionate against roundabouts. I don't know.
It was a nightmare. Over there, I will say that if you've never driven over there and then you get thrown into like some like, you know, Renault little piece of crap and everything was a stick and it's opposite feet, opposite hands, it was a bit of a kerfuffle. So it's become a running joke in my family about how much I hate roundabouts.
So do yourself a favor if you can, or in the future when you are no longer driving, look up some videos on the social medias of the snow in Newfoundland, Canada. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's pronounced Newfoundland, although I don't actually know. Maybe it's Newfoundland, but I'm going to go ahead and sound all fancy and say Newfoundland. It is a record amount of snow. They got 30 inches of snow in one day.
I see. Yeah, that's a lot.
There is.
Sent the military. They sent the Mounties.
Yes, they sent the military. It is a state of emergency up there. And there are time-lapse videos on social media like ring cameras of just in it's like a 24-hour window of the snow just climbing above entire cars, which were completely covered by it. Everyone's front door is completely blocked by the snow to the point where they're making like beer fridges out of the snow.
That's crazy. They're calling it a bomb cyclone.
I guess so. Yeah. And it is. There's pictures and stuff out of the army going there and plowing out the region. I mean, it is, first of all, it's a wasteland because nobody can get out.
Yeah.
But
sounds like a lot of people are having fun with it. I see a couple of bros that are snowboarding off their roof and jumping in and like people.
That's because the snow is basically at the roof. You can just make it one solid hill.
Dude, that is crazy.
Do yourself a favor and look up those time-lapse videos, because I saw it shared and I was like, oh, I mean, we've seen big snow before. And I was like, I don't think I've seen snow videos like this.
No, I mean,
and that's like way out northeast Canada, right?
Yeah.
Newfoundland is like as far northeast as you can go, basically.
I don't know about that, because Canada is way, you know, goes way the hell up there. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's northeast, but you can go above it, and then I think you're still, true. You know, but that's not, no one lives there. You go above that, and you're in the middle of blank and nowhere.
Actually, looking at the map, Newfoundland, there's nothing above it.
Yeah, there is right here. Well, I mean, I guess
technically there's nothing about it.
Yeah, but then you get into like there is that part of Canada that sticks out. It's like its own little murder mitten, like above it.
That is true. Yes.
Yeah. So no, that's as far east as you can go, but it's not as far north as you can go in Canada. Canada, you can go a long way north, and I mean a long way. Well, you can drive to Alaska, right? Yes. The Alcan Highway.
Yes, you can.
I've seen a lot of snow growing up in Alaska, but I don't ever remember, you know.
30 inches.
30 inches in a day. It seems a bit extreme.
So next time there's snow here and the entire city is freaking out, just be thankful that it's not 30 inches of snow in one day. How long would Portland be shut down if there were 30 inches of snow in one day?
Oh, we'd just all die. We'd all give up.
Instant death?
Instant death. What is that movie, like The Day After Tomorrow, right? We'd all just freeze and be like, we're the new Canada. 30 inches. I've seen this city shut down with
Statue of Liberty's knocked down in Portland for some reason. What is this doing here?
Apes are running loose. You know, it's It's a whole thing. You're
putting tennis rackets on your feet for your walk-in shoes. Oh, that movie. So stupid. But kind of good, but kind of stupid.
Yeah, but apparently if you go into the New York City library, then you survive, right?
Yeah.
Like everyone
that was the key.
Everyone freezes to death, but if you go into a library and light some books on fire, then you're just fine. Then you wait for Dennis Quaid to come rescue you.
We're going to do this story quickly because I think we got to talk about it. I know we got a break here in a second, but this is in Auburn, Washington. Police in Auburn released surveillance video of a suspect they believe has been living in the rafters of a grocery store for weeks, emerging only to steal from the store, then return to the hiding place somewhere above the store.
I think that's kind of cool.
So this guy, there's a couple of pictures in this article here. There's pictures of him wearing a ski mask and an all black attire, so you can't see his face. And there's a giant stepladder that leads to a hole in the ceiling. And he leaves the hole. He steals from the store, gets all the food that he needs and whatever else he needs, I suppose. He goes right back living into the ceiling. I mean, at this point, are we really mad at this guy? Because living in the ceiling of the grocery store for weeks, it's actually, if you don't have a home,
that's
worst
kinda,
places to live.
No, I think that's kind of kick ass. I mean, he's stealing and, you're violating some laws there. You know, the whole you're squatting, breaking and entering and whatnot. But in general, I'll call it mostly a victimless crime and, thumbs up. Except at night, there should be people in there, stocking shelves and cleaning the place. And did they just look the other way?
Are there people in a grocery store?
Yeah. I worked as an assistant
grocery. Because not all grocery stores are 24 hours. So
that's the one I worked at wasn't either. But you stock them at night. I worked before I got this gig. In between the NFL and this, I needed a job to bridge a couple months. I was applying at grad schools and doing this part-time and ended up doing this full-time. Great decision. And I did. I worked as an assistant grocery manager at the Albertsons on 4th Plain, and we weren't 24 hours, but we were there overnight. You got to do the grocery orders. You have to stock the shelves, all that stuff. So
maybe he just made a deal with them hey, man. I'm just trying to make a living here. I'm just trying to stay alive. I don't have a home.
Well, I will tell you right now that, I was not a good employee at that Albertsons.
We also found out on Friday about your airport employing.
Yeah.
Employership, how would you say it?
Yeah.
Your job there?
I was bad. Look, I stole things. I didn't pay for beef jerky. I often would take a Hungry Man dinner and heat that sucker up, maybe some Hot Pockets, go in the back and drink some chocolate milk. It's good times. Have lobster races with the seafood. I did some things. But I will tell you right now that because it was me and maybe two other dudes that were there overnight, even though the store was closed. If someone descended from the ceiling while I was doing the grocery order or stocking shelves, as long as I was hey, yeah, what's going on?
He's that does seem a little scary at first. You're
If he didn't surprise me aha! Like a Zoolander Cole sort of thing. If he just came down.
I'm a grocery thief.
Yeah, if he just came down and was he's like, hey, man. He's like Swiper from Dora. But if he just descended in a slow, calm manner and was like, hey.
Swiper, no swiping.
Just so you know, I'm living in the rafters. Do you mind if I grab some Hungry Man? Or do you got some leftover chicken strips? I can assure you 110%. I would have looked the other way.
Maybe
I'd be hey, you know what? I'm going to be over on aisle 12. Anything on that side, you have at it. Be back up in the ceiling in a half hour. We're good.
Maybe he was helpful to the grocery store and he only took items that were about to expire and they would have to get off the shelves. He would just dispose of them himself because he needed food. He'd go to the little clearance bins and just be like, I'll take this. I'll take this. Take this. That helps, right? Maybe he's helping.
It's possible.
Or my guess he's the helpful grocery thief.
Oh, we were all everyone that I worked with. They were like, hey, the stock guys, they were like, hey, do you mind? I'm like, dude, I don't care. I've taken four of those today. They're like, all right. All right, good.
All right, that's in the news for January 20th, 2020. Coming up next hour, we have yet to dive into the AFC title game at all, so we'll get to that. But first, of course, we'll have the Hot 5 at 5. This is Primetime with Lynch and Suk today on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.